Let's just give the Lord a praise offering today. Thank you, Lord. If you would look in your order of service, you will see a sermon note sheet. And when you find that, let's declare together what is the title of our message this Lord's Day. Working on a winning season. High five your neighbor and you can encourage them. Working on a winning season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With joy in our spirit and pep in our step, we are working on a winning season. Now, we are starting a new sermon series today, and the title of the series is, It's Game Time! High five your neighbor, it's game time. It's game time. It's game time. Now, today we're working on a winning season. Next Sunday, Pastor Rick will be leading us in calling an audible, which is a sports term. You sports people know what an audible is. All of us are going to find out next week. All right, sometimes you got to make a sudden change in your life. Hallelujah. Then Pastor Kelly, she got us kicked off last week, but she's going to come back with trade it when you find yourself in a new situation. Sometimes you got to be a new person in that situation. You got to roll with it and shine for the Lord. And then we're going to finish it up with fourth quarter. You got to step things up. We know about that. Amen. All right. Praise God. Looking forward to this series. But before we begin today, working on a winning season, let's join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord God. We say thank you, thank you. Thank you for the honor of your presence in our midst. You are our mighty God, our Lord, our Savior, our lover of our souls, our friend, and we just praise you today. And oh God, we now lift ourselves with teachable spirits. I pray for a teachable spirit in each one here, each one listening today, that we each would be eager to be changed. Hallelujah. So let the light of your holy word at this time soak into us as we actively listen to the preaching of your precious word, equipping us to face whatever this year brings, equipping us, oh God, to step into the plans that you have prepared for us. We know they're good plans, and we're listening, oh God, speak. We, your people, are listening, and we don't want to just be listeners, but we're going to go forth doers as your holy word. Oh, choosing what not only is better, but what's best, experiencing a winning season in and for you, Lord Jesus Christ. So our prayer is, make it so, oh God. We thank you ahead of time in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And all God's expectant saints join together to say, amen. Hallelujah. Saints, this past session, Elder Deacon meeting this last week, during our time of sharing of joys and concerns, Lay Pastor Sylvia, she shared that she was thankful for another birthday. Amen. Every year is a gift. Praise God. And she was thankful for a delightful day of celebrating with her family. And she shared that when her family presented her with a gift, her grandson Dylan, he lit up and he says, oh, 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 he got all excited. He ran out of the room and he ran down the steps and he took a little while and he came back just smiling from ear to ear and he presented Sylvia with this gift. Now, it is very interestingly wrapped. She rewrapped it so that I asked her for it, that we could get a real picture of this gift. This is notebook paper, hallelujah. And this is some kind of string that Dylan had been saving. And so she was all excited because he was just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And when she opened up the gift and she says, oh, what is this, Dylan? And oh, he smiled and he says, remember when we went to Henry Ford Museum this summer and we went to the Rosa Parks exhibit and you helped me buy this bus, which is a replica of the bus that Rosa Parks sat on and wouldn't get out of her seat? Well, he says, I am giving this to you. Happy birthday. her heart melted. Oh, he was so cute, and he was giving it from the depths of his heart. And she says, oh, thank you, Dylan. And he says, you're welcome. It was all in the plan. Hallelujah. It was all in the plan. Praise God. Oh, Dylan had a plan, saints, and he stuck with it. Praise God. And I want to ask us in each today, do you have a plan? Do you have a plan to do better in this new year than you did last year? Have you decided that you're going to try harder in some area of your life to really improve in your life this year in some way? All right, do I see heads nodding this way? Or, okay, praise God, amen, amen, that's good. So if you're nodding your head, yes, you are among millions who have also made that same decision. Unfortunately, saints, you're also among the same number that resolved to do better last year, amen, but ended up in the same position. Now, there is a reason why some of us improved last year. It was because we did something different, amen, than we did the year before, and we stuck with it. Hallelujah. Now, some of us, we didn't improve in some of those areas that we wanted to improve in, and that's because we did things the same way and remained stuck in sinking sand, experiencing the same old, all right. So let me ask us today, have you ever experienced a losing season? Woo! A losing season occurs when you fail more than you succeed, when you lose more than you win, when you take more steps backwards than you do forwards. All right, losing seasons occur for various reasons, and most people have a losing season or two. Now, speaking of losing seasons, last Sunday evening, I found myself so discouraged. I was so discouraged as I watched the recaps of the sports analysis of the day concerning our Cleveland Browns and our Cleveland Cavaliers. And Pastor Rick tried to lift me up and encourage me on. He says it's going to be all right, hallelujah. But I would not be consoled. And to no surprise to me, the next morning, there was the announcement that Coach Eric Mangini was fired. He was let go. Even though he was working on a winning season, we were working on a winning season. And our Cavaliers, they're still struggling for a winning season, amen. They're struggling to overcome their losing streak. Praise God, working on a winning season. Now, saints, losing seasons happen not just for the Browns or the Cavaliers or sports teams or even for businesses or careers or whatever. But as Christians, losing seasons do come, yes. But saints, we must learn the secret of overcoming losing seasons. Hallelujah. If we repeat the same things we did last year, guess what? We're going to get the same results. And if we get the same results, we cannot be trying to blame God. We can't try to blame the church. We got nobody to blame but ourselves. Amen. Now, to increase, we must add something to what we already have. And first and foremost, saints, we must be determined to get closer to God this year. Higher levels. Tell your neighbor, we got to get closer to God. We got to get closer to God. We got to. Now, as Christians, our desire to increase and improve our relationship with God, it's just so exciting at the new year. New opportunities to be new creatures in Jesus Christ. New opportunities to seek higher ground in our relationship, to draw closer to the Lord Jesus. Now, our New Testament text that Althea read for us this day, it focuses on how Christ grew toward his purpose and grew toward his life's work, which was the salvation of humankind, you and me. Hallelujah. Now, Luke paints three pictures of Christ. We see Christ as the baby, small and fragile, destined to spiritual greatness. We see Christ as a boy, accepting the challenges of ministry. And we read here today in verse 51 and 52, his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And as Jesus grew up, he increased, everybody say increased. He increased in wisdom and in favor with God and people. Praise God. Jesus increased in wisdom and favor with God and people. And finally, we see Jesus as an adult, shouldering the responsibilities of the world as he carried the cross for you and for me. Increasing in wisdom and faith with God and people. Saints, likewise, our goal this year should be to make this year a year of increase. Now, before we can increase, before we can improve, before we can work into a winning season, we got to take some time and analyze our situation. We got to take some time to be honest. Everybody say, be honest. Be honest and be correctly evaluating. Okay, take off the rose-colored glasses. Everybody take them off. Let's see clearly now. Knowing that God does not measure us by material things, what we have, how good we look, what we got, all this stuff, because the Word of God says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. God already owns everything, so God ain't impressed with our new car. God ain't impressed with our house. God ain't impressed with our new boots. God ain't impressed with our hairdo. God ain't impressed with us showing off our gifts. God ain't impressed with that. God judges us, saints, on the basis of spiritual growth. Everybody say that with me. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth requires more than a superficial count of our possessions or what we're doing or who we're running with, whatever. Spiritual growth requires a long look in the mirror. Woo! Perhaps the most difficult challenge for any individual is self-analysis. Amen. Oh, wow. This past week, lay pastor Felicia Earl, she sent out these spiritual self-analysis questionnaires to the pastors and to the elders for us to take this on the computer on the internet. I said, "Oh, I'm going to take this. I really want to see where I'm at on this thing." Woo! I'm telling you, talking about painful. I said, "Oh, I got a lot of growing to do this year. Oh, my goodness." When you really get honest and you really do some evaluations that's to the core, amen. Oh, it can hurt when you look in the mirror and see what you see. Now, I tell you, it's easy for us to sit back. Ooh, we can analyze others. Oh, we so good at that, saint. We can look at their shortcomings. We can look at, ooh, look at that fault. Ooh, and we can even second guess their motives. I know why they did that. I know why she went over there. Ooh, we can say, oh, they just off the hook, or they from another planet, or, you know, they just thirsty, whatever. All right, we are so good at evaluating and analyzing others, amen, amen. But it's more difficult to analyze ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Michael Jackson, he was not a theologian, but I know he got one thing right when he sang the song, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. He got that right. He said, take a look at yourself and make a change. We got to take a look at ourselves and make a plan so we can make a change, so we can make a difference for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. It don't say examine nobody else. Hallelujah. Prove your own self, it says. Hallelujah. Now, we got to make a plan to succeed. We have to make a plan to have a winning season. Now, I've been looking at myself, and I've said, oh, I need some help. All right, so Deborah White and I have been talking, and we have agreed to be each other's accountability partners as we're both in school. So we've given each other permission to, you know, really talk to each other. So she's going to have my schedule, I'm going to have hers, when we're supposed to be sitting down doing our work. So she can call me up and say, Pastor Toby, where are you? And I sure better say at that time, I'm sitting down in front of the computer. If I can't say that, she can say, Pastor Toby, go sit your behind down and get to work. I need somebody to be on me. I need that. I need accountability. So Deborah, I'm ready for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody better get a plan. It just ain't me that need one. We all need to get a plan. We need to get a good plan that's realistic. Okay, whatever you want to accomplish, don't say you're going to get a no doctor's degree in a year. It ain't going to happen. Unless you just go pay for one somewhere. Have a realistic, then you have a better chance of your plan working, amen. Be realistic. And if when we're realistic, we can improve on what we did last year, and as we learn and grow, we can keep improving, praise God. Now our Old Testament text, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, this text focuses on how a godly king, Asa of Judah, was able to reverse the losing season of his kingdom by returning to worship and praise to God. That's what he did. Asa, whose name means physician, was the third king of Judah. Historically, he's noted for rooting out idolatry out of the land and returning the land back to God. Now, as Asa reigned, following the infamous reign of his grandfather, Rehoboam, and his father, Abijah. Now, Rehoboam inherited a beautiful kingdom from his father, Solomon. And it was united, and it was in peace. It was known throughout the world for its splendor. King Solomon's palace, it took 13 years to build his palace. How many know if it takes 13 years to build your house, you got a house. You got a house. His house was such a great spectacle. It included this magnificent judgment hall. It had a porch of pillars. It had a throne room. He instructed great waterworks to secure the city's water supply, along with many other fortifications. And the great temple in Jerusalem was filled with so much gold. Oh my goodness. I don't know if we know what to do with that much gold here in Glenville. Fine wood and precious stones all over the place. It was considered an architectural wonder. Commercial trade flourished, and trade agreements were made with Egypt, Africa, and Spain. Intellectual pursuits flourished under King Solomon, who himself wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. Oh, yes, he did. Solomon had it going on. Amen. He promoted artistic development and culture. These were just small examples, saints, of the great works under King Solomon. The nation succeeded so well that the Queen of Sheba, she was a beautiful black queen, she traveled many miles just to see this great splendor. And under King David and King Solomon, the nation appeared to enjoy just back-to-back winning seasons. How many know that feels good to have a back-to-back winning season? Well, 2 Chronicles, saints, begins to tell us about the story of a losing season when the nation lost its prosperity that it enjoyed under Solomon. Chapters 10, 11, and 12 detail what can best be described as the beginning of what you would call a losing season of decline for the nation. After the death of King Solomon, the kingdom split under King Rehoboam. Now instead of one nation, they were divided. Instead of the reign of peace, they were warring with each other and killing each other. Instead of commercial prosperity, they were scraping by. There was cultural and commercial pursuits that all diminished. They all went downhill. Chapter 13 details the three-year reign of King Abijah, who was as wicked as his father. There are so many wicked kings that scripture records, very few good kings, but he was as wicked like his father. Worship of God, it declined. Study of the scripture, it declined, it vanished. And idol worship, it shot up, it flourished. Chapter 14 finds the new King Asa desperately trying to turn things around, desperately seeking to work for a winning season. we see in chapter 14, verse 3, he went and he started breaking down those foreign altars. He started destroying those idols. And he commanded the people of God to obey the word of God, obey the laws of God. Chapter 15 finds God speaking to the prophet Azariah. And Azariah is sending a message to King Asa with a way to recover from Judah's long season of frustration, setbacks, war, and division. And the solution seems so simple, saints. Seek God, and God will be found. He told him, forsake God, and God will forsake you. The prophet's message was clear. If Judah was willing to return to God, God would be willing to pour down blessings and blessings upon God's people. However, everybody say, however. However, if they chose to continue apart from God, woo, their losing season would continue. Verse 4 of chapter 15, it notes that the people in their distress, hallelujah. How many know sometimes it takes some distress for us to really do what we need to do? In their distress, scripture says, the people chose to turn to God. Hallelujah. They sought after the Lord. And when they sought after the Lord, God was found. Asa led them into a renewed faith, a renewed worship, a revival. Hallelujah. Even his mother, the queen, was removed from office because of her support of idol worship. King Asa said, I'm sorry, mother, but you got to go. Oh, I'm so sorry, but you got to go. You got to go. Asa had a plan, and he stuck with it, saints. Oh, he stuck with it. I want you to tell your neighbor, develop a good, realistic plan and stick with it. Tell your neighbor, encourage your neighbor, develop a good, realistic plan and stick with it. Hallelujah. Asa had a plan, and he stuck with it. And the swift and grand changes that he made helped Judah recover from a long, long losing season. Now, while his record, saints, never equaled that of King Solomon, he was king of Judah for 41 years. And Judah enjoyed peace and prosperity. Hallelujah. So the plan, the method he used to reverse the losing season, the misfortunes of the people, was to return to godly ways. Godly practices, seeking God first and trusting God with all of their hearts. Matthew 6 tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. Amen. You see, that was their plan to recover, a plan from a losing season, and it worked. It worked. I want you to just read with me 2 Chronicles 15:7. Let's read that together in our sermon note sheet. Chronicles 15:7. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Hallelujah. Late Pastor Sandra, as she says it, she said, you got to pick your foot up, you got to kick it out, and you got to step on out. You just got to keep on stepping out. Amen. Make that plan and kick that foot and step on out. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, pick your foot up and step on out. Amen. Step on out on that plan, that realistic, good plan. Oh, hallelujah. When we turn our trust in the Lord like Asa, we turn our losing seasons into winning seasons. When we trust in the Lord, saints, hallelujah, we find out that our race is worth running. We find out our battles are worth fighting. We find out our discouragements, hallelujah, are worth facing. Our burdens, amen, are worth bearing. And our course is worth finishing, hallelujah, when we put our trust in the Lord, when we make God first. Now, saints, I want us to learn a new habit this year. Now, out of our devotional book, Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young, on January the 4th, Jesus spoke to us from Psalm 63, Isaiah 40, 10, Psalm 139, 7 through 10. And Jesus said, I want you to learn a new habit. Try saying, no matter what situation you find yourself in, who's around, whatever, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I put you first. I don't understand what's going on. This don't feel good, but I trust you. I'm going to put you first, and I'm going to let you work. I'm going to go through this adverse situation, and I'm going to see it as an opportunity for me to grow in my trust and love for you. Oh, I trust you, Jesus. Let's practice that today. I want to hear everybody just say it. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. Okay, you just got news that wasn't good. Oh, you know you can't do anything about it. You know, you could get an ulcer. You could run around and lose your mind. But what would be the better thing that we just learned? What should we pray? I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. We may have heard news about a loved one, and we can't get there, but we can get to God. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you to help us. I trust you to do what needs to be done. I trust you, Jesus. You know, when we say, I trust you, Jesus, I trust you, Jesus, fear loses its grip on our lives. You see, the devil would love for us to start shaking. And then when we get so full of fear, we get frozen, paralyzed. We can't move, but we can move. We say, I trust you, Jesus. Every time we say it, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. Woo! I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I don't care who's looking. I trust you, Jesus. 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 Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, when Asa and the people of God put God first, not only did they recover from a losing season, but they turned a losing season into a winning season. When we trust in the Lord, saints, oh, those dark nights, they can turn into noonday shining. Oh, our bad days can turn into good days. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. As Pastor Rick and I tell each other, a bad day don't have to turn into a bad night. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to keep that bad day going. It can turn into a good night. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hard times can turn into good times. Amen. Like we sang today, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it all down for the joy of the Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. No wonder the songwriter declared, I will trust in the Lord until I die. Amen. So saints, as we prepare to launch into this new year, I want you to turn to your neighbor, please, and say, neighbor, it's time to shine. Pastor Kelly told us about shining. It's shining time. It's time to shine. Tell another neighbor, let's work on a winning season. Let's work on a winning season. As individuals and together as the family of God, let's work on a winning season. Here at Glenville, we sing the chorus, anointing. I remember when Gwen brought this to us so many years ago. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of your Holy Spirit fall on me. Saints, we need the power. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk right, to be able to talk right, to be able to act right, to be able to react right, to be able to live right. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know what? We are trying to go out there and win the world for Jesus Christ. That's why we need the anointing. We need the power. We ain't got it on our own. Amen. We need that anointing. And God has selected you. Look at your neighbor. They're just so full of gifts. God has selected each of us. God has selected all of us. God has endowed all of us for service. Because God knows, no matter what the world shoots at us, woo, we can handle it. We can still score, no matter what Satan tried to do. Send your best shots. Hallelujah. We still gonna score. Amen. And saints, we need to increase our faith. We need to increase our faith in the abilities, the gifts, the talents that God has given us. Every last one of us in here got gifts. Every last one of us in here got talents. Every last one of us, God has given abilities. Amen. And God wants to use us. God wants to anoint us with power from on high. Hallelujah. So this year, let's be determined to increase. Increase with God's anointing on us. Increase with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, saints, Asa had a plan, and Asa was anointed by God. Now, anointing of the Lord power from on high has the uniqueness to show the world the glory of God. Oh, praise God. Whether we're individual, out in the world, whether we're Glenville New Life Community Church as a family, God wants to anoint God's people. God wants to anoint the whole family today. God wants to anoint the whole church, the body of Jesus Christ, for service to our Lord and Savior. I want us to thank God today for personal anointing. Every night, every day, just pray anointing fall on me. Help me to walk deeper in you, Lord Jesus. I want us to thank God today for corporate anointing. Glenville New Life Community Church. Let's praise God for the anointing upon us as a body. Oh, saints, we are anointed. We are enabled and gifted. And I want you to say this with me. We are anointed, enabled, and gifted by the grace of God to do what God has placed each of us and all of us on this earth to do. Hallelujah! High five your neighbor, amen. Thank you, Lord God. We're anointed, enabled, and gifted. And saints, anointing is not a feeling. Anointing is not an atmosphere. Anointing is knowing. It is knowing. It is the assurance that God is with us. It's knowing that the anointing is a person and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. The anointing is Jesus. Hallelujah. And anointing only comes through the anointed one, Jesus Christ, the source of all anointing. And faith and trust in him is the step for that anointing. Now, Jamil William Daniels will come now, and he's going to conclude our message this day by a liturgical dance entitled Anointing by Jay Moss. And it speaks of the anointing, the power that's available to us as individual believers and together as the body of Christ and the work and service of the Lord to enable us to walk in winning seasons. I mean, back-to-back winning seasons as individuals and the family of God. Now, there's a verse in this song that goes, mountains with that anointing can be moved. And with that anointing, demons can be removed. How many know there's some demons maybe in your house, maybe at work, maybe in your neighborhood that need to be removed? Maybe you got a mountain that needs to be moved. And blinded eyes opened up and disease cleared up. Anybody here need a healing or know somebody that do? Oh, the anointing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can heal, move mountains, and remove demons. As Jamil dances, I want us to pray along with the chorus. The chorus is, surround me with your anointing. Endow me with your anointing. Douse me with your anointing. Equip me as I come, as I go. Use me as I flow with your anointing.